您现在听到的是精简版的 Roundtable 节目，想收听并下载一小时完整节目，可以打开网站 CRIEZFM.com 点击 Roundtable。 Podcast 用户可以搜索圆桌会议。And you're listening to Roundtable. We are now starting a series of topic discussions about China and U.S. Every year, CRI News Plus Radio holds a cross-Pacific dialogue titled From University to the World to enhance communication and exchange between college students from China and other countries. This year's event will be unveiled in Shanghai later this week when students from China and the U.S. will be discussing about their life, their dreams, and their values. So Roundtable is also launching a mini-series about China and the U.S. And instead of focusing on political issues and bilateral ties, we're going to start from smaller things. And today, it's how Chinese students can blend into American society. Now, the U.S. higher education has attracted millions of Chinese students each year. China is already U.S.'s largest source of international students. But whether or not these students can fit in is another question. A 2012 study shows that 40% of international students don't have close American friends, especially students from the Far East. So how can Chinese students better fit into American society? 美国大学的教育吸引了成千上万的中国学生，在2013到14学年有 27.4 万名中国学生来到美国读大学，这比前一年呢增加了 17%， 但是如何融入美国学校和社会也成为了海外留学生面临的最大问题。 So do you think that this is a problem?
I think it is a problem when you're not making your money's worth. Okay, cheapskate as I am. Basically, when you've spent so much money, you go to a different country, and not only do you want to get the degree, you want to get the culture, take it in as well. And how can you do so?It's about mingling with local people. And if you're just focusing on your studies, you know, applaud to you, that's a good thing too. But you can't just do that. You need to, like, speak to local people and make friends with them. And it's said really easily here as a Chinese student who used to study in the U.S. and the U.K. I know it can be pretty hard.
I think what you said about the languages, obviously that's very important, but I think you're right, it is difficult to become accepted in a different culture, I think, and to actually say that you have friends from that country, for example. So, and this has been found to be a bit of a problem with some Chinese students who are in the U.S.Let's have a few facts and figures. The sort of numbers we're talking about are 274,000 Chinese students who went to the U.S. for higher learning in the 2013 to 2014 academic year. That was a 17% increase from the previous year, and they contributed $26.8 billion to the U.S. economy, which is a sizable sum of money. So there are some things which people should consider if they want to try to blend in with Western culture.And I suppose really it's just common sense, really. Look around you. If you really want to blend in, see how people are dressing. Do you look like they look when it comes to the sorts of clothes you're wearing? It depends how much you want to blend in and how much you want to retain your individual cultural identity, obviously.
Yeah, that is true. I remember when I first went to a foreign...high school actually back then, and I immediately sensed that there was a difference because I had short hair, I was wearing glasses, and I was a little bit chubby, and I'm still all of those things,
no.
But I have long
no.
hair. Oh, thank you guys, I was waiting for that. And and everybody else was wearing, especially the girls, I think Western people mature earlier or something, and then they're like super fashion conscious, and then...A lot of them had boyfriends, and I was not, didn't know anything about that. So just to give you a brief picture of how different you can be, but it's really important to, if you really want to blend in, and then maybe start with the looks, there's at least dress in a similar way, and try to talk to them, but these things can only succeed when your English is of a okay level, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's preparation to do.
Yeah, and I think it takes a lot of extra effort because, you know, realize that not everybody is obligated to accept you into their homes or families or society, you know. Not everybody is obligated to be extra nice or friendly to you, even though a lot of people are. But I think it's important to remember that you have to be the one making an extra effort, not necessarily the other party.
That's wisely put, because I didn't know that. I didn't understand that. I used to think, well, I was like 17 back then, I think, and I used to think that, okay, here I'm going to use that really annoying phrase for you, Mark. International friends. That's, you know,
why, that, why is that annoying? Why is that annoying okay. for me? I've never had a problem with that, have I?
Okay, maybe some people think it's really pretentious or something. In Chinese, we call it guojiyouren in China, and then for some reason, they're all painted with these like really friendly faces, and they all want to know about China, and they all want to talk to you. But actually, when you go to the States or you go to the UK, there's nobody who's gonna like just say hi to you or really want to know you. You need to make that effort. And then I think that was the first fact that that was like a bit of a shock to me. And then I realized that in order to make friends and in order to blend in, you need to do a lot of things.
That's very good, actually, the last thing you said, because it reminds me of some advice that I was given about 2 days before I came to China to live and work. And it was actually a British-born Chinese friend's father told me in not very good English, but, you know, he never learnt very good English.
Right.
But he said, when you get to China, say hello to people. And I found that to be incredibly good advice. And I've been doing it for the last 7.5 years. Like even if I'm just walking the dog or something and someone's given me a bit of a funny look as I walk past them, maybe they've never seen a dog before. I don't know. But I just say, ni hao. And suddenly the whole face changes and they smile and they say a couple of words. It happened to me this morning when I was walking the dog, in fact. So that was extremely good advice, simply by saying hello to people in their own language. In America, if you did it, I mean, I don't know what would happen. If you did it on the subway in London, people would look at you as though you'd gone insane.
Oh. Yeah.
To actually speak to anybody on the subway would be a major breakthrough in human communication, as you both know, because you've both been on that that rail system.
Right.
No one talks.
Yeah, it's the British have their own, let's say, quote-unquote, problems. There's actually a documentary, I forgot if it's a BBC documentary, featuring the little weird pet peeves of British people, one of them being never talking to people and never wanting to know anybody, you know, things like that. But,
well, that's right. Although I must say that because I've been saying hello to just about anybody I see in China for years, and it gets a very good response always, I've started doing it in Britain now. When I was there in July, I was out for a run.
Right.
And I was just running across through the countryside and saying hello to people walking the other way. But it was the same thing. A smile and people should talk to each other more, you know, really. So it was all thanks to my British-born Chinese friend's father who gave me that really good advice about how to fit in China.
Okay, and how to fit in America? I think if you try the same thing in New York City in the subway, maybe you'll be, you know, getting that stonewall poker face reaction more or less. But if you go to, let's say, Iowa, you know, the Midwest
of
United States, then you'll probably get a really warm response. But still, just don't stop trying. I think that's really important.
Context is everything. I've never done that on the subway in Beijing. It just doesn't seem right. Maybe that's because I'm from London, you know, because of what happens there. But that doesn't seem right to say hello to complete strangers. Now, that seems weird.
The next that thing they expect you to say is that, do you have any money to give me, or something like that.
But if you do it when you're out walking the dog or something, or walking in the park, and there's some people there coming the other way and they look over.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it does work in that context, but it is contextually dependent and not something I would do in the subway.
Yes, I think that's one thing. And also, apart from you making that effort to break the ice, to get to know people, there's also more preparation you could do, I suppose, because, okay, back to my own story again. I'm just so self-centered. I can't stop.
No, we'd love to hear your story, because you're a Chinese student in the U.S.,
yes,
right? You were.
Yes, you've been through this process.
Right. Okay, you guys are feeding to a gigantic ego. You guys are going to,
we have time.
feel sorry later. Anyway, so I remember going to the U.S., and I really wanted to chat with other classmates. And then I thought, what should we talk about? I grew up in a culture watching 黑猫警长, so Black Cat Sheriff, that animation. Would they understand what I'm talking about? Mm. No. So I went home, watched like some Bugs Bunny and other supersonic and other kind of animation, motion pictures, and try to figure out certain topics that could be shared with my peers. So I went in the classroom prepared the next day, and with my limited English I had at the time, I think we managed to speak a little bit. Mm. And then I was not a complete silent weirdo to people.
Well, so that's what you think. But you see, American adults, which is what students are, generally don't watch Bugs Bunny cartoons. I think you should have watched Friends or Sex and the City or the Letterman show or something like that, to be honest.
Well, I was really young back then.
Well, I thought we were talking about 18.
Well, okay. My own history is a bit like here and there when it comes to experience in the U.S. Mm. But okay.
I don't mean to insult you. I'm just saying that there does seem to be a tendency for people of what was considered to be an adult age in China to still enjoy things like cartoons, whereas that has been put behind their Western contemporaries.
Certainly. When it comes to high school, when it comes to teenagers, I think you need to be prepared for that you might get insulted. They're meaner than adults.
But they're looking ahead to more grown-up stuff instead of looking back to childhood things.
Oh, certainly. Certainly. So if you are going when you're like really young, like I was, then I suppose Bugs Bunny. But if you're like above the age of 13, then try out some new stuff. And I can't even think of an example right now. Let's just stick with Sex and the City then, since I really like it.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is very good advice, to be a little bit prepared culturally. Mm. To know some of the cultural products that's popular in that country is very important. And also, I think, don't be discouraged if you just run into a snob, if you run into a bully and that person scorns you or whatever, you know, brushes you aside. Mm. Because I think the U.S. and other Western countries as well are very diverse countries. So if one person does not seem nice or as tolerant as he is, then maybe other people are. So you know what I'm talking about? Maybe if you try to talk to the cheerleader, for example, and you're
and
being...
And fail.
Maybe that's not a good advice. But trying to talk to maybe the geeks of the class.
There is some real niche stuff that you can learn. A friend of mine, actually, is coming to Beijing for the first time in 2 weeks. And so I'll say to him, look, when you're going to have an English-speaking person helping you in China. He said, yeah. And I said, well, look, if you want to break the ice with them, just say that you really like football, especially the World Cup. And say, do Chinese people like football, World Cup, and that, you know? Because then I'm sure that tour guide will immediately start, you know, laughing and explaining about how awful the men's football team is in China. This is a great way to break the ice, don't you think, to mention how terrible. I mean, I found that works. If I want to break the ice with somebody and we're talking about various things that don't get anywhere, I just say, you know, the football, good, bad in China, you know, and they say terrible, awful, it sucks.
And what about the ice-breaking speech or starter to Americans or American teenagers? Justin Bieber?
No, he's kind of
Miley Cyrus.
It's too young. I think these things are too young. I don't know. I mean, really. That's interesting, because I mean...
Or politics. I don't think politics is a good starter in any culture.
But the thing is that we all know Americans here. We have American friends. But isn't it interesting how difficult it is to because we're so close to Americans, I mean, particularly British people, it's hard to identify what those important things are, because we just sort of take it for granted.
It's not rocket scientists. Basically, what you do is, when you're in the same classroom, find out some common topics that could be related to today's class or maybe gossip of someone, or, you know, complaints towards teachers, or, you know, a lot of, like, small things. I think you can use it as the icebreaker.
Yes, I think the other thing is to be open-minded about things. You know, if you have we've mentioned politics, if you have a particular views about anything, you know, be prepared to listen to the other person's point of view as well. Whether it's on entertainment or sports teams or whatever it might be, I think a sports team is a very good idea. You know, I mean, I find as well, so many Chinese people that I meet in China support Manchester United, which is an immediate point of common reference for us. It's not my team. I mean, I'm a London Arsenal supporter. But again, that generates a lot of interest. Sometimes if I'm in a taxi, for some reason, the subject of football will come up. And if I say Arsenal, either the taxi driver does the thumbs up or says Manchester United.
Ah.
You know, it seems that there are these common frames of reference. You just have to discover what they are when Chinese people are in America.
Yeah, and I think all of this is built on the foundation that you can speak pretty okay English.
Yeah.
Right.
Because if you can't communicate yourself properly, and you're just going to sound dumb. So, you know, get your English right, and also don't suck up to anyone. Because I know, coming from my own experience, when you go to a strange place, you have no one to rely on, and although those people are just, you know, 16, 17-year-olds, but sometimes it feels like it's not a friendly place, and it's very easy to be a servant to certain people, and because you only want to join in. I can totally understand that teenager mentality. But if you do that, you're going to be stuck at the bottom of the food chain. So don't do that. And still, get the suck in more culture. And language is really important.
Mm. Your Honglin said, He Yang, you must have been scorned or brushed aside before when you were in U.S.
Oh, it was brutal. And wow. I managed to work the crowd. I managed to get my nerdy friends first. They were the ones that opened arms to me first, and I cherished that, and then I gradually worked up the food chain a little bit, and I never bullied anyone was in that team when I was working up the food chain. So I think it's pretty brutal as a teenager in the U.S. or in the U.K., but there are ways to handle it, and I can give you tips if you WeChat us.
Well, and you do speak with almost 100% American accent. I mean, I'm not American. Maybe Americans might hear something else. But to me, you've assimilated American speech patterns 100%. And that must have been part of your process of assimilation.
And you worked very hard for that. And bravo, He Yang.
Thanks.